I got to give you a real neat testimony. You know, you us that came out of the world, you run into somebody and you hear what happened to the old gang. And every once in a while you'll hear somebody died. And over my years since I've been saved, I've ran into people. I couldn't even tell you who they were, but man, you hear so-and-so passed, you hear so-and-so passed. Well, one of those close friends of mine was, his name was Tony Camerata. I heard he died. Another close friend I had, his name was Mike Scavo. I heard he died. Another close friend, I was able to go to his wake, Jim Latona. He died just recently. Rick Nasca. You see, we didn't have a lot of Irishmen in our school. And I was getting a steak sandwich one day at Calabazella's, and Dominic, he says, "Yeah, I seen Mike Scavo." I said, "What?" He said, "Scavo was in here the other day." I go, "You didn't see Mike Scavo? Mike Scavo's dead." He said, "No, he's not." I said, "Yeah, man, I heard he died." "No, he didn't die." "Mike, stand up and say hello, would you, back there?" "Praise the Lord." What's the Bible say? "My son, he was dead. Now he's alive." Amen. Woo, that's a blessing. Now I see it with my own eyes. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 7. "Mike, really, I heard you died." They heard Joe Camilleri died too. It was just a different death. He not the man he used to be. Amen. All right, you know where we've been. We've been talking. Let me pray first. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that you're still saving souls. And thank you for those that were out in those streets yesterday and down at that hockey game last night. And Lord, just ministering, and good day in church today. Thank you for the sunshine. Looking forward to the 60s this week, Lord. But Lord, right now we got to check into your word and just we need help. I need help. And I pray you'd bless everyone here. Give us ears to hear. You do the work. Lord, just blind everybody to the racket, and we'll get something accomplished for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know the story of Achan. We don't have to rehearse it, but we will. They step through the Jordan. They go up to Jericho. God says, "You walk around this city seven times, and you blow the trumpets." So now the walls are flattened. Achan committed a trespass and taking the accursed thing. God said, "When you go in here, don't touch nothing. Don't touch nothing. It's a curse. And if you take of it, you're going to be a curse like it." Well, Achan, we'll pick it up in chapter 7, verse 21. You know Achan's brought before the deacon board here, if you will. Joshua said, "What did you do?" Now, you know, they went up to Ai, and 36 men got killed. And Joshua's laying on his face, and he says, "What did we do wrong?" And he didn't know that Achan had taken this gold and this silver and this goodly Babylonian garment and hid it in his tent. And I told you the revelation that one of the brethren gave me the other day. I can't understand why God killed the kids. One word: cahoots. Cahoots. Man, usually when one in the family usually don't sin when it's got something to do with being against the preacher. The family's in on it. The guy said the kids probably dug the hole. So hear it out. Now he's standing before the tribunal here. "When I saw," this is Achan speaking, "among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and took them." You know what that is? That's lust being conceived, and sin. Lust when it's conceived bringeth forth sin. Sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. And that's how he ended up. "And behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers and ran under the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it, and he took them out of the midst of the tent, this is something here, and brought them unto Joshua and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Yeah, laid them out in lavender, amen. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan. I'm glad I don't live in the Old Testament times. I mean, I've been called a rockhead, but this is crazy. The son of Zerah and the silver and the son of Zerah and the silver, the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tents and all that he had. And they brought him into the valley of Achor. And they said, why have you troubled us? And they stoned him with stones that they died. Why would he do that? The answer's in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Now, children, your parents ain't going to always convey what I'm going to teach you today, but the Bible's right and they're wrong. I want to give you a proper view of something to keep you out of trouble. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11, speaking of Moses, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know why he took it? Because sin is pleasant and sin is pleasurable. If sin weren't pleasurable, it'd have no draw. God doesn't tell you not to eat coal ash. That's not got no draw. Achan saw it. Now you know, when someone sees money, it's not the green stuff. It's what's behind it that I can be and that I can have and how I can live. And he coveted it. You know why people spend a lifetime chasing money, waste a whole life? It's pleasurable. Not having to worry about money is pleasurable. Buying stuff is pleasurable. You think about ladies and shopping. I mean, they're sick, man. I know these women. And I'm not going to reveal who they are. Only to say every once in a while I'll put my hand on their back. And I feel a piece of cardboard underneath their sweater. Hey, you got something in your shirt. And just in case some of you were stumbling, it's my own family, all right? You got something in your shirt. This is wild. You'd never see a man do this in 100 years and say, what's that? It's the tag. The tag? Why you got the tag still on it? Just in case I don't like it and want to take it back. We used to get embarrassed if someone said, hey, you got the tag on your thing. You know what it is? It's just the thrill of getting something new. Most women are organized hoarders. Really, you go in their closet. Now us men, we ain't like that. We don't get as much as the women. We just get big stuff. I get me a new pistol. She could buy 1,000 dresses. What do you need all these dresses? Well, you got 4 pistols. What do you need that for? Yeah, that's right. I need a new bow. I need this forward. I got to go out and get that deer. She said, baby, you could have bought 20,000 pounds of ground beef by now for what we're paying for that nasty, musty deer. It's a thrill to... Why do people covet? Why do people buy as though they possess not? Why do people go head over heels in debt? Because it's fun to buy stuff. That's why. It's pleasurable. You know why, and I'll be general in mixed company, one leg of the illicit industry makes $14 billion that comes on your laptop and your desktop and your dumb phone and everything else. And begins the beginning of a downward spiral for so many. And that's not including who it's hurting, the young people on the other end. You know why? What's their problem? It's pleasant to the eyes, just like the fruit was in the Garden of Eden.
I don't know what's wrong with these young girls. Man, when they were 7 years old, their hair was like a rat's nest. I couldn't get them to brush it. Couldn't hardly get them to change their drawers. And now, their room is like a beauty parlor. You want to talk about industry, $265 billion, the beauty industry. And they're primping and they're prumping and they're this and they're that. And then they're up talking with these boys of all things. And look like they're enjoying it.
Can you imagine that, Harold?
And many a good girl, spiritual girl's been ruined. And many a premarital baby's been born. And many adultery beds have been laid in. And many divorces have hurt so many. Why? Because it's pleasant. You know what a girl wants? She wants to be complimented. She wants to be paid attention to. She wants to get a gift.
Well, you're pushing the envelope a little bit there, sis. I want to get noticed. Oh, that's a sin. Yeah, but it feels good.
You like a pat on the back, don't you? Man, we're all three preachers are treading in thin water today. Amen. Nobody wants to be fat. It feels bad. It looks bad. I gained 7 pounds. I feel like a pot of stuffed shells. I mean, you start getting it back on, and all of a sudden you eat one little thing, and that belt drops. Well, how did my pants get so long? How did I get like this?
One pleasant peanut butter bonbon at a time.
You know, they got these shows now, you know, My 1,000-Pound Life, where they show these big, enormous people. And you say, how could they get like that? You know what the trouble with food is? When you're full, the taste doesn't stop. I mean, you're looking at that piece of Perry's pizza you've already had four. And that pepperoni's curled up and it's crunchy around the edge and there's a little puddle in there. Skinny people, they have no idea what I'm talking about. And there's a lot of people laughing, so most of you do. You may not look fat, but you're bloated up on the inside, amen. And you're looking at that thing and, man, I said, God, why didn't you make it so the more you eat, the taste gets worse?
When my sister got married, she married a guy without a vowel on the end of his name. And I remember the first Thanksgiving, she made like 3 or 4 or 5 pies and she said, I got banana cream and chocolate cream and pumpkin and pecan. What do you want? He goes, I don't want any. She almost fell off the chair. She said, why not? He says, I'm full. Yeah.
Pick any sin you want. It feels good. Laziness. For the lazy. I mean, this country's going to hell in a handbasket because a bunch of people. Why would I go to work when I don't have to?
And get paid.
Then you pick the other person. Well, I'm not lazy. Yeah, and you're a workaholic. Why? Because it feels good. When you start working so much to the neglect of your family and your other responsibility, you know why you do it? It feels good. You take anger. Well, how does anger fit? It feels good to blow your cork.
Does it? They call it venting. Vents are good.
Why would a godly young man gossip? Gossip feels good. Kind of picks me up a little bit higher. Kind of puts you down a little bit lower. You put your sin into the machine and it's going to come out because it feels, it's pleasant, it's pleasurable. How about worry?
Worry? Yeah, worry. There's some
people are addicted to it. It's like a weird solace in worry. I just feel good worrying. Bitterness. I was praying the other day and I got a practical, I mean, this will put Bill Gothard's practical application to shame. A practical definition for bitterness. The best consolation I can get
for not being able to kill you.
The consolation I can get that replaces vengeance. I'm mad at you. I'm upset with you. I'd choke you if I could, but I can't. So I'm just going to tear you up on the inside of me.
That's real smart. It feels good to get bitter. Just a little, let it out a little bit. Bitterness rots the bones. Bitterness defiles many, the Bible says. Why would anyone do that? Feels good. Sin is pleasurable, but that's not the end of the story. It says in 11:26, for it, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Say the next three words with me. For a season. For a season. And if you think about Achan's season, chapter 6, verse 20, they went up. They surrounded the place. 7 days, the walls came down. It says that they went in and destroyed everybody. And then it says they burnt the city. They saved Rahab. That's got to take some time. I think it took a day. I think that night, I think the next morning they went up to Ai. And let's jump over to, no, let's not. I'm just going to tell you. They went up to Ai the next day, and the men get killed. And I think it's that night, because it said, and the guys from Ai chased the children of Israel to the going down. Now, I don't know if they were, it doesn't say going down of the sun, but it looks like it was a day. And that night, Joshua's praying. So let's say for funsies that they started Monday early, early Monday morning. That's when most battles start. You got to get them when they're sleeping. And so that took all day Monday to get Jericho. Let's say about 3 o'clock Monday afternoon, Achan sees the stuff. And he puts it in there and he gets home. You ain't gonna believe what I got. Honey, I don't know if you were supposed to. Oh, come on, in the big scheme of things, what's a stinking little thing? I don't know, we've got to mess with it. It's only God. You bury this up. I got to get back to work. And so let's say that was 3 o'clock Monday afternoon. And then the next day, Tuesday, they go up to Ai and get chased away. Tuesday night, Joshua's praying and God reveals the thing. And Wednesday morning, they have the deacon's meeting. And they start calling the families. For about 48 hours, Achan was rich. For about 48 hours, he had the nicest Pierre Cardin threads in the camp. For 48 hours, his wife didn't have to shop at the Goodwill. He's a military man. His kids are military bred. He's never home. Hey, we got something going to get us ahead finally. Only one problem. In 49 hours, the pleasure of sin was over. See, the season of sin is not like a football season or a baseball season or a harvesting season. You don't know what the season is. You don't know how long it's going to be before your ship comes in. Someone said, well, he got away with murder. No, he didn't. You know how I know that? The season's not over. The father's a monster. I don't see nothing wrong with his family. The season's not over. Might not wreck his marriage. Might wreck what the seeds he plants in his son to wreck his marriage. Worry and fret might not cripple you, but it might cripple those you raise. Man, that guy robs God every week. Every week he robs God. And his 401k's bulging bigger than the Goodyear blimp. What gives? Season's not over. Sin's pleasurable, but only for a season. Number three, it's not worth the cost. Go to Matthew 25. See, what you get in the Bible is you get the devil's fine print. And he's talking about what we did with what he gave us. And he said in verse 28, he's talking about a future judgment. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. Well, that doesn't make no sense. That doesn't sure doesn't sound like equality. No, this guy did something down here for God. This guy did nothing down here for God. And when we get into that millennial kingdom, and if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. And he said, you know what? Take it from the guy that didn't have nothing. And for 1,000 years, let this guy enjoy what he didn't do for me. For 50 years, no tight miser, he loses 1,000. You know what I think? I think the fruit, you know, they want to argue what the fruit is. Let's talk about what happened with that fruit. I think the fruit that grew on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, I bet that was some kind of unique taste in fruit that you couldn't get on any one other one of those trees.
This is good. It tastes good. It feels good.
And look what it cost. They lost paradise for a piece of fruit. They lost a walk with God for an instant piece of satisfaction. Listen, did it taste good? It tasted wonderful. But it cost. Luke 16. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, too late now, rich man. Have mercy on me. Some of you sitting here today, you're going to split hell wide open. You know you're not saved. You know you don't know God, and it's going to be too late. You think you got tomorrow. You don't know when the season ends. I'm going to keep warning you till some of you get saved. Some of you kids, you wouldn't know God if he banged you on the head with a songbook. But I'm praying for you. You're going to get it. You won't be the first one that got in late. Right, Ben? You won't be the first one that got in late. Right, John? Never too late. 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, send mercy on me. Too late for mercy. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember, you talk about remembering, that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, thou art tormented, season's over. That's the devil, the fine print he don't give. You know what the lost world trades for? See that guy roll his window down?
Take your religion!
Have a nice day. Free country. Go ahead. Season's going to be over soon. I know what David did was pleasurable for a season. And his family and his kingdom was never the same. I know when Esau came home one day, man, he was out hunting. He was famished. And he smelled his brother's pasta lenticchia. Man, he had the lentils and I'm sure he had the garlic and the onion. You know when you're hungry? Money don't mean nothing. Sleep don't mean nothing. You want to eat. Well, at least I do. And that little wimp said, well, give me your birthright.
What good is birthright? right through me when I'm starving.
I bet it tasted good. And he lost his birthright. Go to Hebrews 12, one finger. Proverbs 6, the other. We're going to get positive here in a minute. Don't worry. I might not catch up with Joel Osteen, but we'll let you walk out with your head up. Proverbs 6, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 16. Anyone ever have an ocular migraine? Does your head hurt when you get it? My head doesn't hurt. But right now, everything is just... Oh, there it is, Tom. I'm going to go watch from the fellowship hall from now on. All right. Watch this. Hebrews 12, verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You know what some of you kids are going to do? For a morsel of this world's meat. Yeah, but all that's out there, all the wine and the women and the song and the thrills and the spills. And you know what God calls it? A morsel of meat. And all the advantages you've had, and all the blessings you've had, and all the preaching you've had, and all the opportunities you had, you're going to give it away for nothing. Proverbs 6. Verse 26, 6:26, for by a means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Oh, that this young man had. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying sin is pleasurable, but only for a season. I'm going to make you a promise if you decide to sin. It's going to feel good. It's going to taste good. It's going to look good. It's going to sound good. But remember, the beginning of a thing is not the end of a thing. See, that's why you, some of you parents, you twist the story. Oh, you saw what happened to so-and-so. Look at that girl up on the billboard. That's what happens with meth. Not the first time, pal. First time you think you're in paradise. You see that guy all messed up on that dope. He can't get rid of it. He's lost everything. There's men in this church that lost everything at one time in their lives. He don't show you the fine print. He don't show you the end. And let me say this. You may sail out happy all the way to heaven if you're saved. See, that's what some of you say. Well, these preachers, they tell us that sin is so bad and wages of sin is death. This guy sailed out to eternity with a big old yacht and all kinds of money in the bank. Never went to church on a Sunday. He got to stand before God yet. He's got to stand before God yet. He doesn't tell you the end of the story, but I'll tell you what. The first time you get high, you're going to love it. And I'll tell you something else. You'll never be as high as you were the first time you spent $1,500 in a day. Oh, Gilbert. Remember Gilbert Curley from Brooklyn? He'd get out on that street and say, sin thrills, then it kills. It fascinates, then assassinates. You play, then you pay. The devil don't tell you that. Now watch this. Let's finish up. We'll go to Joshua 7. I'm just trying to give you the fine print that the devil don't give you. It's a sad thing that a first generation would come out of this world and a second generation would walk right back into it. And if you want to go, like the one brother said, help yourself. I'm not going back by the grace of God. Watch Joshua 7:1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of, say it. Judah. Now, you know what he had in verse 21. He had What's Achan got? Let's zero in with X-ray, Superman X-ray vision, and let's look in that tent. He got some sons. He got some daughters. He's got a little cattle, because they said go get his cattle and whatever he had there. And he's got a little bit of silver and a little bit of gold, and he's got a goodly Babylonian garment. Sin usually shows up in garments. Garments are revealing the heart. That's an expression. But we won't go there till another day. Now watch. Now I want you to go to, keep your hand in Joshua 8, and then go to Deuteronomy 6. Because now you're going to get something here. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Well, why didn't God just give them just a piece of property over there? And they have good, because he's so graceful and merciful. And these people in there were wicked. We heard about that. And the houses full of good things, which thou fillest not. And wells digged, which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees, where thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and been full. Now, look at chapter 8. This is after Jericho. And the Lord said unto... After Achan's dead. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee and rise, go up against Ai. See, I've given unto the hand of the king, unto thee the hand of the king of Ai, his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou did to Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Achan, you should have waited. You should have waited. Now go to Joshua 15. What's his tribe? What tribe is he in, church? Judah. Chapter 15, verse 1. This then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families. Even to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin, southward was the other. And on and on and on he goes for 12 verses plus of what they were going to get and what he would have gotten if he just waited. I wonder if the value of the goodly Babylonian garment and the gold and the silver would have even paid for the driveway of the palace that Achan could have had if he just waited. I'll give you cattle. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And you know what we do for sin? We trade a morsel of bread today for glory that God has for us tomorrow. And I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel that says, listen, I could be a pauper. I'd rather be a pauper in the house of my God than a rich man that dwells in the tents of sin. Amen? There's more. The man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. There's a whole lot of paupers that are rich this morning. There's a whole lot of men in jail that are free this morning. Freer than the freest man on this earth if he don't have Jesus Christ. Woo, I'm free. We used to have a saying, Mike, I don't know if you remember. It's like going to a buffet with a ham sandwich in your pocket. Why would anyone bring a ham sandwich to a buffet? Because it tastes good. I mean, didn't your father teach you nothing? You don't fill yourself up on the bread at a buffet? There's a buffet, my favorite. It's up in St. Catharines, Ontario. It's called a Mandarin. $25. All the crab legs you could eat. We're not talking about the ones down at Fiji's over here like this, that you burn more calories breaking the things you look, there's nothing in there. These things are like two thumbs, man. And they slice every one of them and you just like that. And out comes, it looks like a toilet paper roll. Thing pulls out. Prime rib and beef ribs. Every fresh Chinese Mandarin dish you can imagine. They got these dipped strawberries. I mean, Beth Giordano, she dipped that straw. That lady behind there started to cry by the time Beth got done. And they had they got these waffles and this vanilla cream. Ron Reese, never trust a thin guy when it's talking about a good restaurant. And Ron's not. He says, you got to go and get the vanilla cream, hot waffles. And they pour this cream with a little dabble of whipped cream. You imagine going there and bringing a ham sandwich in your pocket? It's exactly what we do when we say yes to sin. Ham sandwich is good, but it's not as good as God's milk and honey. I got thinking about the boys sitting around enjoying the spoils after Ai. I mean, they might have all got wedges of gold and shekels of silver and goodly Babylonish garb. They might have all had... And there's the smoke rising up from Achan's rubble in the valley of Achor, named after him, the troubler. You know what the devil don't tell you about sin? It feels good. Yeah, he tells you that part because it does. He doesn't tell you it'll get you in trouble. Read the fine print. Get the Bible. Let this truth keep you from doing something stupid. It'll wreck your life. I got thinking about if Achan just would have waited to what God had. For what God had. I don't know if they had picket fences. But man, I think about his life and what could have been. Maybe some grandkids next door and running over to Papaw's house and sitting on a rocking chair and telling them stories about Jericho. Instead, his seed is eradicated. You got a wedge of gold somewhere? You got a goodly Babylonian garment? You thinking about doing something stupid? Can I give you some deep theology this morning? Don't do it. It doesn't pay. You know, we get to thinking about the flesh is amazing. The carnal mind is just with all. I've been reading the Bible for 30 years. Thought come in your mind. And something tell you, you can get away with it. No, you can't. And when you first consider stupid, the voice of the conscience is loud and long. But the voice fades into dim and short and low. Here's a promise. If you partake of sin, it's going to feel good. Don't doubt it. It's going to sound good, taste good, look good. But it's only for a season. And it's not worth the trade. It's not worth the trade, and your flesh and your carnal mind will argue with you forever. Yes, it is. Get in, get out. Quick, quick, quick. No such thing. Let's stand. God's got a better deal for you. Oh, your flesh might not be all happy at the beginning, but I'm telling you, you may have to bear a cross, but after God's cross is God's resurrection. It's not worth it. Altar's open. You want to pray. If you're not saved, I made the appeal again. Come down here. Let someone take the Bible. Show you how you can know your sins are all gone. Woo! Without one plea. That's how I come, Lord. I'm addicted to worry. I'm addicted to porn. I'm addicted to dope. I'm addicted to gossip. I'm addicted to bitterness. And it gets worse. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. No, No. God, I want some milk and honey. You're not going to get milk and honey until the cows get milked and the bees get kept. It's going to take some work. He wants to give you that quick in and out and mess you up. Don't let it mess you up. What number, preacher? 227, if you want to sing with our invitation.